Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today, my very special guest is Supervisor Joel Anderson, and he's here to talk about the crisis of the federal government over the holiday weekend, Christmas Eve, dropping off hundreds of migrants. These are asylum seekers, I guess, due to the cold weather elsewhere, but just essentially abandoning them here in San Diego at transit stations, including, I've heard different numbers, but Joel, I believe you said it was about 140 at the El Cajon Transit Center alone.
In 3 days.
In 3 days.
And that number is growing. It's not shrinking. And my concern is we haven't lifted Title 42. If we did, the numbers that were bantered around were 400 to 1,500 per day.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've worked awfully hard to clean up the streets and get people off the streets, the homeless into permanent housing.
I know that you have.
And yet this is federally federally supported homelessness, and it's wrong. It's not fair to the people that are coming across the border. You know, East County has welcomed more immigrants than any other community in California and west of the Mississippi.
Right.
So we have opened our arms, but we've always had support when we welcomed the Iraqis years and years ago. There was support for them when we had the Syrians come because of the Civil War. We welcomed them and we had the support. And then if you recall, Miriam, last year when we knew that Afghans were coming and we received 25% of all the Afghans that came to America, came here to our community, I wrote a board letter making sure the county was prepared with wraparound services to get these people into housing, temporary housing immediately, and move them forward to permanent housing and help them acclimate. There is no support, or hasn't been up until recently. And I'm grateful to President Biden for giving FEMA over $700 million to help us with settling these asylum seekers.
Good. Yeah, that was at the money that was approved just on the 23rd, I think, a day before this latest drop-off.
But I had a press conference prior. We sent a letter to the President Biden and to Governor Newsom because the county had put together a plan, submitted it to the state for funding, and it was rejected.
Wow.
And so I was worried sick about Title 42. They were saying that we wouldn't run out of space. They only do the street abandonments when all of their resources have been maxed out. So we now know that if Title 42 is lifted, there is no room. They all will be released in the street.
So I have a question. And for those who don't know what Title 42 is, it was basically a Trump-era policy that was trying to prevent asylum seekers from coming in due to COVID-19, saying they had to, you know, they could be ejected because of the pandemic. And the Biden administration has tried to lift it, but so far the Supreme Court has blocked lifting it. So I guess what a lot of people don't understand is that that was intended to be preventing migrants from coming in, rightly or wrongly. How is it that so many are asylum seekers are still coming here? Who are the ones that are where the apparently exceptions are being made and they're allowed in? Do we know what countries they're coming from, or whether there's been any background vetting or health checks or anything at all on these folks?
You know what? I'm not the person to ask. That's not my job. However, the Border Patrol, I'm sure, would
I did ask on Friday, and so far we don't have answers yet.
Yeah. Well, they're shorthanded. I mean, they are, they're having a lot of difficulty. And look, I've talked to a lot of border agents, and the Border Patrol takes no pride in abandoning people in transit centers. They're compassionate too, just like everyone else. And this is a failed policy. We've got immigration reform. We cannot absorb this many people, especially along the border.
Well, and just dumping them, they could become victims of human traffickers or other criminals.
Miriam, you are absolutely correct. One of the biggest fears I have is they're in their country. We don't know if they speak English. Mm-hmm. We do know that they don't have shelter. They don't have food. Mm-hmm. They don't have proper clothing, because some of them are coming from much warmer climates, and now here they are.
Some of them didn't even have cell phones, I'm told. There were people from the, I think the Union Tribune reported, there were people from the car dealership across the street that saw what was going on and came over and was helping them make calls on their own personal phones. A lot of them apparently did have relatives somewhere, LA or somewhere, and they were just trying to reach them so they could, you know, get rides. But do we have any data, Joel, on how many of the people that were dropped off here have since moved on to somewhere else, and how many are still here needing some kind of shelter or help?
Later this morning, I'm going to drive by the transit center to see if anybody's there. Mm-hmm. We at the county don't have the, we didn't have the resources to track all this, and they don't tell us when they're going to drop them off. And if you recall, in the past, sometimes it's in the early hours of the evening. So it could be 1 a.m.
Which is the most dangerous time, you would think, at least, you know,
right, in the morning. And sometimes it's in the afternoon. So they don't coordinate with us. They don't tell us. They tell us after the fact that how many people they've dropped off.
Terrible.
But that's it. And even then, those numbers aren't 100% accurate because it's the situation so fluid.
And you wouldn't know if people had just been lost or picked up or trafficked. Seems like there should be some sort of a tracking method so that at least you have a record of where everybody wound up.
The big thing, though, I believe, mm-hmm. is we're a great nation. We can do better.
Absolutely.
These people should not be political pawns. And in our communities should not have to suffer because they pay their taxes on time. They go to work. They do all the right things. Mm-hmm. And the way we thank them for being great Americans is by abandoning people on their front doorstep. That's
yes.
not fair to the community. And it's certainly not fair to the asylum seekers.
Agreed.
And I just think that while I'm not in Congress and I'm not in the state legislature, it's my job to make sure where the rubber meets the road, that we're doing the best that we can to provide for these people and, more importantly, protect our communities. And sadly, it's gotten to this level. And you look at what's happened in Texas, in El Paso or Del Rio, mm-hmm. where a small community of 100,000 people has 30,000 asylum seekers, and they have no hospitals, no clinics.
Yeah, they're overwhelmed.
And
have you reached out, Joel, to our 5 members of Congress for this region? I guess for El Cajon, that would be Sarah Jacobs and Daryl Issa, who each have part of the city. What do they say? Are they working on any solutions at the federal level for this? And then we'll talk about your solutions for here
right.
at county
well,
level.
What we did is we sent them a copy of the letter I sent to President Biden with a cover letter asking for help and support. Mm-hmm. So
these latest drop-offs, right? Have they been contacted since this Christmas Eve dumping of so many people here?
I have not. It's between the holidays.
Yeah.
And everybody's on a skeleton crew. And
sure.
So it's very difficult. I suspect after the first of the year when people are fully staffed, we'll have a better opportunity. But I have been working closely with the City of El Cajon, mm-hmm. because they're bearing the brunt, but the city of CNT has been very helpful as well. And, you know, we got to pull together, not just as one entity, but together to meet the needs of our communities, because it spills over into every community.
Yeah, I saw the editorial that you co-authored with Steve Goebel, Councilman Goebel from El Cajon, that ran in Times of San Diego a day or so ago. Supervisor, you have a poll up where people can, or a petition rather, that people can sign, urging support for a proposal that I understand you're going to be bringing before the Board of Supervisors in mid-January. And that would be to provide immediate aid to asylum seekers who are abandoned on the streets here by the federal government to avoid worsening our homelessness crisis, but also to seek reimbursement from the federal government. And I understand that on December 23rd, Congress did approve $785 million plan to reimburse local governments or nonprofits for costs related to emergency shelters and services for these asylum seekers. So is there anything more you'd like folks to know about that proposal? And also, where can they go to sign this petition if they want?
Well, they can come to my website, first of all. But remember, my district's governed by 3 votes on the board. I don't control my district. 3 votes.
Joel, can I ask you to turn your volume up just a little bit? It's
how do I do this?
I don't know.
I was trying to keep the mic out of the screen, but maybe I just...
No, that's okay. It just dropped a little bit there. Go ahead.
Is it better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So what people need to understand is they believe that I control my district. I don't. Three votes on the Board of Supervisors controls my district. So the petition's important because we have to bring the importance of our need to the whole Board of Supes. Some of the supervisors haven't hosted any asylum seekers. Just like my district has over 90% of all these sexually violent predators, and others have zero, it's important that we build a case of why it's important for them to support it. So that's why I'm asking people to sign on to the petition.
Right. I should add,
it should be my district asking.
Yeah. And you've said that East County has gotten more of these asylum seekers than the other districts have. Which other districts have gotten any or not?
Jim Desmond's District 5, has received some, and Nora Vargas has most likely received the most because she has seen Isidro and Chula Vista closest to the border. But
so that is three. That would be a majority if they all supported this.
Right, but it's important. Building momentum is always good in politics.
Right, because you never know.
Having people sign on, having thousands of people, tens of thousands, gives all the politicians clarity in the purpose of their job and what they need to do. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the county proposed a plan that the state rejected. I want the county to look at using FEMA money to do it. Now, the problem with the FEMA money, it's over, I think, $753 million, is that it's not guaranteed. You have to apply for it. You have to submit a plan. And everybody's bidding for it.
So you could spend this money and then potentially not get reimbursed would be the downside of it.
Right. Or we need to front load it, move as quickly as possible, get FEMA to preliminarily approve it, and then move forward. But we're going to have other communities competing for that same money. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that we have a complete plan, that we have absolute focus and determination to get the money to ensure that our communities are protected and that people crossing the border, the asylum seekers, are treated fairly.
In preparation, because we know this is liable to happen again, perhaps in a huge way if Title 42 ever gets lifted, but even if we have another bout of cold weather or just a rush, of asylum seekers, what can be done? It seems to me, for example, something as simple as having somebody greet these people if the feds would tell us when they're coming, find out where are they trying to go, what do they need, if all they need is to get to the airport like some of them did, or to call a relative who can come pick them up, at least that's kind of the low-hanging fruit, and then finding out what the rest of them need, or maybe they need a tent, for a temporary shelter for a day or two until people can move on. I guess the big question is how many are sort of long-term issues, and they're not just here for a couple nights, a night or two while they're trying to get somewhere else, but they just want to come to America and now what? They're just sort of here waiting on their asylum hearings and they need shelter of some sort for a longer term. Do we have any handle at all on that?
I don't. And I don't believe the county does yet. Mm-hmm. But, part of it is we don't have the resources to chase this down. And when you're abandoning people in the middle of the night in our communities, it's very hard to track that. Last year I participated in the point in time count, and we're going to be doing that here shortly. But before that, there was no way to even address the homeless issue. And while it's not perfect, it does give us an idea. I'd hate to have these folks, these asylum seekers, is part of our point in time count because we failed to do our jobs.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. And we don't know what we're facing, which makes it even more difficult. Mm-hmm. But we know, but that's not an excuse for me not to do my job. So I can't allow the perfect to get in the way of the good. What I do know is that car dealership employees should not be the first responders to asylum seekers.
Absolutely.
And
not.
That, yeah. And that,
and thankfully, the federal government, good people, but what if they'd been, somebody bad who heard about this and decided they'd go try to pretend to befriend them and then traffic them.
If you want to prey on people, they have targets on their backs. And we know that. And that's not what America is built on. Yeah. We're great people. We want to welcome people. Our country's built on immigration. But it's got to be done correctly. And President Biden, while I appreciate the FEMA money, and I appreciate that there's additional money that they're proposing, we really need to look at this immigration policy. You cannot have 30,000, you can't have 400 people a day being dumped off in our streets because right. we don't have the capacity to process them. And maybe we should shut down the border until we can catch up. But it's not fair to have people abandoned in the community to be targets for criminals.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, and of course we have no comprehensive immigration policy either. There's not a way for people to just sort of apply here somewhere else to come here and work or some of these things. It's kind of a mess. You know, it seems like there must be some answer between shut it down completely and nobody ever gets in versus let everybody in. Or this free-for-all when people just kind of come over on their own in droves.
Miriam, when I say shut it down, I don't mean permanently. I mean temporarily so that we're not abandoning people on the street and allow the shelters that we have now to catch up, to process those folks. It's easy to open the door and allow them to come in. It's hard to get them to where their family members are. It's hard to process them. Everything that you suggested, I agree with.
And why isn't ICE doing that? I mean, if people just say, hey, I want to get to my relative's house in LA, instead of dumping them on a bus stop in San Diego, why don't they say, here's a phone, you can call your relatives and have them meet you at where we're going to drop you off or something. It just seems like they're so heartless and so thoughtless.
They could be doing that, but they're at capacity. See, it starts off, the Border Patrol has a facility where they first fill that facility up. And then Catholic Charities and Jewish Family Services have facilities. And once those fill up, and all those services are helping connect families in doing some of these things that you're suggesting. But once they hit capacity, that's when they abandon them on street corners.
Maybe the Interfaith Council or some network of volunteers could be trained, just as they train volunteers to come in and help in other emergencies, whether it's evacuating animals during a fire or whatever.
Well, that's why it's important for FEMA to come in and treat it like a disaster, because this is a human calamity.
It is.
And it is a disaster.
It is.
And FEMA should be here setting up and doing the work that FEMA does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are these folks even being notified of when their asylum hearings are going to be so they'll know that? Are we tracking where they're going? It doesn't sound like anybody is. So it's just...
Well, look, I think it's important to understand that East County has been more than generous throughout the years, and we wish to continue to be generous, but we need to put a plan together, which I'm working on with the state and the federal government, and needs to be funded, not with our tax dollars, but with everybody's tax dollars, because this is a federal issue. It shouldn't be a local issue. Yeah, alcohol should not be going alone, nor should the county. Okay. We should have a lot of friends in higher places helping us. So we are reaching out to the congressional offices, but I suspect that that won't hit full steam until after the first of the year when people come back from vacations.
Yeah, the other thing it seems like is connecting them with others from their same community, whatever that might be. We've certainly seen, with the Iraqis, for example, that they would kind of pitch in to help the newest ones arriving, get them mattresses and lamps and, whatever they needed to furnish a place. And certainly many of the immigrants, have become very productive members of society in El Cajon, opening businesses and, that were once closed and boarded up. So it isn't all bad, but it's a matter of how many are coming and making sure they get the tools and the resources to be successful if they are allowed to stay and not become victims. And at the same time, making sure the community isn't overwhelmed with so many that you just can't absorb it. And as you mentioned, that it could become a burden on things like the school system and the healthcare system.
And you saw over the last 2 years how far we've come with moving the ball forward on assisting the homeless.
Yes.
I have been laser focused on that. We cleaned up Magnolia. We put safe parking in. I have a lot of shelters that we're working on right now to bring online.
All yeah, where are we going with getting, that's a good question. What progress is being made to, I know the safe parking is in place, but what about an actual shelter with services in East County, in the unincorporated part of the county anywhere?
So, you know, I had a community town hall in Lakeside.
Yeah.
We had a series of meetings in Lakeside asking the community where they would like to see it. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they wouldn't like to see it at all.
That's the trouble. No one wants it in their neighborhood. It's they all want the homeless off the streets, but not in their neighborhood.
So and, you know, in Lakeside, they said, well, we don't have homeless. They're all from El Cajon. And then when I had a homeless conference in El Cajon, they said they're not in El Cajon. They're all from Lakeside.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to stop pointing fingers and start building shelters to get help people get off the street. Our voucher program has been highly successful. I know it's gotten a lot of bad press in the news, but it's not fully accurate. 30% of the people that we put into the hotel voucher system mm-hmm. moved on to permanent housing. That's a huge number of success. 20% got kicked out for violating the rules.
Because they did something criminal.
We screen those people. Yeah. We give them wraparound services. We give them the help they need if they have a substance abuse issue. We get them treatment. We do a lot to assist yeah. them. But not everybody is prepared or has the ability to stay sober.
Is that where the care program is, care court program is going to come in for those folks that are,
well,
that are
the
too mentally ill
issue.
Or too addicted to really be, you know, yes, making rational
yes.
decisions?
And, you know, I wrote a letter in support of the care program as soon as it was announced, because that's one of the missing links. We have people that perennially are on the streets and they can't care for themselves. And there's nobody that can advocate on their behalf. And so the care court would give us a path to get them off the street so they're not harming themselves or anyone else around.
Yeah.
I apologize, but I have to go into another one in 1 minute.
I understand, Supervisor. We really appreciate you taking the time today to meet with us on this important issue. I'm going to let you have the last word. What else would you like people to know? And can you give us that website where people can go read your petition or sign your petition?
Sure. If you just come to my county website, just Google Joel Anderson, it pops right up,
okay.
or Supervisor Joel Anderson. The big thing that people need to know is that we're working night and day to solve this issue. While the federal government can argue over Title 42, we're focused on making sure that we treat people properly and that our communities are protected and that we're not political pawns for a greater fight on a national level.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.